29. This lesson is entitled Praying for the Day to Come. Praying for the Day to Come. In Acts chapter 27, Paul has appealed to Caesar. He apparently was afraid that he was going to lose his case in front of Agrippa and Festus. And so he says, well, I'll appeal to Caesar. Caesar was the highest court in the land at the time. He was the big boss. So it would be like someone nowadays appealing all the way to the Supreme Court. And that's what Paul did. They were trying him because of his religious convictions. And he said, I appeal to Caesar. And so they then sent him and the centurion to watch him. And along with some other prisoners, they were sending them to Rome. So they're on the ship heading toward Rome when they come up on a storm. Now, Paul had warned them that this storm was coming, but as with many things, they didn't listen. It's amazing how when you tell somebody the truth, how many times they listen. Paul said, it's going to be bad weather if we travel. He even told them up in verse 10 that they were going to have great loss of the ship and the cargo and to their own lives even. But instead of listening, they went ahead and got on the ship. Sure enough, they weren't very far out to sea before there was a big storm that blew in. They began to do everything they could to try to save the ship, and they began to throw out all the tackle and all of the cargo and everything that they could. They were throwing it off the ship to make it a little lighter to try to help it float better. The storm was so bad, verse 20 tells us, that neither sun nor stars appeared in many days. Cloudy and stormy for days. You know, it's got to be pretty cloudy, pretty stormy to not be able to see the sun. Even on a cloudy day, you can still see the sun, even though it's through the clouds. You can see that bright spot moving behind the clouds. But it was so bad, so stormy, that they couldn't even see the sun during the day. They went on like this for 2 weeks, 14 days. Verse 27 says, when the 14th night was come, we were driven up and down, and about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near some country. They sounded 20 fathoms, or about 120 feet deep. Then they gone a little further, and they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms, or about 90 feet deep. So it was getting more shallow, so they knew they were getting close to some land. So when they had gathered this, verse 29 says, then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for the day, the King James says. Some translations translate that word wished as prayed for the day. But whether they were wishing or praying, sometimes those two things kind of go hand in hand. Hoping, wishing, praying for something to occur. Of course, some of these men were not particularly religious men. Some of them had, I'm sure, all their false gods that they worshipped. Paul, I'm sure, was there praying for the day to come and praying for the lives of these men. But what we see here is that when these men, even though they were not devout believers in God like Paul, when they were faced with real danger, they began to pray. They begin to have some hope. And even at the darkest time, the darkest part of the night, prayer can even help. And we need to remember that because all of us will travel through dark times in our lives. These people had not eaten for 14 days. I tell you, you've got to be pretty scared, pretty frightened, pretty upset about things to not eat for 14 days. Either that or you've got to be dedicated to fasting. One of the two. Well, these men weren't dedicated to fasting. They were so distraught over their situation, they couldn't eat. And so So they hadn't eaten anything in 14 days. And here they are, in the middle of the ocean, not knowing what's going to happen next, in the middle of the storm. And then, at night, finally they throw out their anchors. Four of them, they set their anchors out. And they just set those out and hope that they will catch something and hold them until the day comes. In the Bible, there are plenty of examples of people having dark days, dark times ahead of them. Paul said before he embarked on this journey to Rome, he told the Ephesian elders, "You will see my face." He knew this was going to be his last trip. He knew he wasn't going to be coming back to see them again. So he told them, "You'll see my face no more." He knew there were some dark days ahead for him. When Peter was in prison, it was a dark time. James, the brother of John, had already been killed, and they thought Peter might be killed as well. It was a dark time, and they were praying. When Jesus was facing his own death on the cross, where do we find him? Praying. Praying in the garden. Him and asking his disciples to pray as well. Of course, they kept falling asleep. But Jesus continued to pray through the night until Judas and those with him came to arrest him. There are certainly things that happen to us in our present day lives that are going to bring us dark days. We'll have dark days with illness. We may have dark days at work when we're uncertain about our own future, what employment we may be able to have. Maybe even times when we don't have employment. And that can be a very frightening thing when you're looking at all of the bills that you have and you know you don't have any way to pay it. Certainly a very dark time. Maybe dark days at home. Maybe troubles at home. A lot of people go through some very trying times in their homes. Maybe a dark day because of the loss of loved ones in one way or another. Could be as a result of divorce, as a result of death. I know a little niece that was here last Wednesday. Her parents are going through a divorce, and she's torn up over it. She's a little girl about 8 years old, and she doesn't know what to do. She loves her mom, and she loves her dad, and you know, children don't understand anything about him. And Don told me the other day that this poor girl's been sick, literally sick, over all the nervousness and the stress of her situation. And it's certainly true that mental anguish can cause us physical problems. We know that stress and other things related to that can cause ulcers. We know that in the Bible it says Jesus was under so much strain in the garden before his death that he was actually sweating drops of blood. And doctors have an explanation for that. They explain what causes that. For a long time people go, "Oh, that's just a figure of speech." No. It really happens when someone is under such incredible strain. Blood pressure goes up so that the small blood vessels burst and actually cause their sweat to turn to drops of blood. So there are certainly things that can put a strain on us, a stress on us, that can make us sick to our stomach, that can make us ache and pain, and all kinds of illness can be traced back to mental anguish and stress. So we know those things may come on. But prayer gives us hope during those dark times. During those darkest of times, the darkest hour of our life, prayer can give us hope. Now we might think that at the darkest of time would be when we have the least hope. But in actuality, it's the time when we can have the best hope. Because at the darkest of time, hope can only get brighter. They always say that the darkest part of the night comes before the dawn. Well, I don't know how true that is. I guess that depends on how bright the moon is. But that's what's been said for a long time, that the darkest part of the night comes just before the dawn. We need to think about the fact that when we have those dark times, face those dark days, prayer gives us hope. And let's talk these men were praying for the day, they weren't expecting the day to come any quicker. God didn't change the laws of science to make the earth spin faster so that the sun would rise any sooner. He didn't do that. The day came at the same time the day was supposed to come. But the prayer that they had gave them hope that that day would come. There are some times when we fear that we may not even see another day. Sure, this may be it. This could be the last one for me. This may be the last time of my life. And so prayer can give us hope for the future. They had fasted for 14 days because they were afraid of the worst. They had not eaten anything. And Paul finally told them that they needed to eat something. Wanted them to eat. When finally Paul was able to give them a little hope, they were willing then to eat. Paul told them, "You haven't eaten in 14 days." He told them what God had said to him. Back up in verses 23 and following, 22, he tells them to be of good cheer, because none of the men are going to die, just the ship is going to be lost. And so, he then told them what happened. Verse 25, he says, "Be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me." In verse 24, he said that God told him he was going to have to appear before Caesar. God had told Paul that this wasn't the end of the journey. He was going to make it to Rome. And God had told him as well what would happen. And so they knew then. They had faith in Paul. They believed in Paul. And they got their spirits up. Sometimes when we have dark times, we need somebody else to help raise our spirits. We need somebody to lean on. We have that in the church. I've met people who didn't have anybody. They didn't have family. They didn't have like any friends. And they weren't Christians. And I pity those people. They don't have anybody to lean on during those difficult times. They're all alone. They have to face those things by themselves with no one to lean on. And what's more, they can't even lean on God because they're not Christians. So what a help it is to have companions to lean on. But the prayer can be so much more. Even all alone, even without another soul around, prayer still get us through those dark times. We need an assurance of the future. In troubled times like we're facing now, the economy is rocky, with there are threats of war all around, and all of these crazy things going on, we need to be able to have some source of comfort. We can't put our comfort in the stock market or in our bank accounts or even in our jobs, because we know those things won't always exist. Think about in terms of the time the world has been here, the time that the people have been living on this earth, and there have been nations. Our nation's only been around 200 years. It's very young. We don't know how much longer it will last. Things could change. So we can't put our comfort in that. We can't count on our government. We can't count on money. We can't count on physical possessions. We had prayer this morning for Tyrone's aunt, who had her house burned down, and others also had similar situations with the house burned down. We can't count on those things. Those material things, those physical things may be gone. We can't even depend on our parents. You know, when we were little, boy, mom or dad, that was all the comfort we needed. But we can't depend on them forever. They're not going to be here forever. Many have already lost theirs. And many more will. We can't even depend on our brothers and sisters or husbands and wives. we can't fully depend on them because we know they too, at some point, will pass on. We certainly can lean on people while they're here and while we're with them, and we should, but that can't be our final source of comfort. We can't count on the elders or the preacher, even at the church, because those men, even and women, can't count on their teachers or the elders' wives, or can't count on them forever, because you know at some point they're going to be gone. I've known a lot of people who, instead of putting their faith and comfort in the God man, put their faith into a preacher. And when the preacher was gone, or the preacher fell away from the faith, as sometimes happens, those people were gone. They fell away. That can happen. And the same thing with putting our faith in any human being. We can put our faith in God, however. Because with God, there is always a tomorrow. Either here in this life, or else in the life to come. There's that one final tomorrow. So we can always count on Him. We can always know that when we put our faith in Him, and when we pray to Him, that we have someone there that is dependable. Someone who is eternal. Someone that we don't have to worry about leaving. We don't have to worry about it going away. We don't have to worry about Him dying. We don't have to worry about anything happening to overthrow Him, like with the government or something. He will always be there, and that's the one that we should put our trust and our faith in. That's where our hope lies with God. It's interesting that prayer can hold on when other anchors must be left behind. The crew threw out these four anchors. Of course, the purpose of those anchors was to stop them, to keep them from running up on the rocks at the edge of the waters. But notice what happens in verse 32. I'm having trouble finding the right verse. Verse 32 says, "Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall." Sorry, that is the wrong verse still, even yet. Wrong passage there. In verse 40, "When they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea and loosed the rudder band, hoisted up the mainsails of the wind, and made toward the shore." This is the verse I was looking for, and I grabbed the wrong one there. Here we see that these anchors held them for a time. But they couldn't hold there forever. They had to head on in toward the shore. And in order to do that, they had to take up these anchors. They couldn't leave these anchors down there. They couldn't drag them behind. We often have to do that as well. We have some things in life that kind of steady us a little bit, kind of hold us a little more certain for a time. But, as I said before, they can't last forever. But when other anchors must be left off, when we can't use them anymore, prayer is still available. They couldn't use these anchors. They had to head for shore. But even as they headed for shore, it says, and there in verse 40, that they committed themselves unto the sea. They're going to just let the ship ride itself out until it hits the shore, until it runs into something on the way to the shore. And they didn't have any anchors. Except for one. There's one anchor that was still left. Prayer. No matter what happens in our lives, prayer is still there to be an anchor for us. All the other anchors may get stuck and hold us in a place we don't want to be. We have to cut them loose. Other anchors may never catch on anything. We just drag them along. Other anchors may be let down for a time, and then we have to pull them back up. But prayer is an anchor that can keep us and hold us. do. So we must do all that we can with all of our troubles, and then pray and turn to God for what we can do. We can worry constantly about all of the problems, all of the things that might happen. But the question is, can I do anything about that? Many times I can't. There are certain things that I can't do, and I do those things. When I get in the car, I put on my seatbelt because that's safer than not wearing. When I work on electrical wires, I turn off the power because it's safer that way. And there are a lot of things that we can't fully control. Even in my car with my seatbelt, there are a lot of things that happen. Even in my house, there are a lot of things that can happen. Anywhere I go and anything I do, there are dangers, there are worries, there are concerns that could happen. And we cannot protect ourselves from all. We have to count on God. Here are four anchors that we need to put out. Now they put out four anchors from that ship to hold it through the night with the aid of their prayers. Here are four anchors that we need in our lives. We need the anchor of faith. You know, prayer without faith isn't any good at all. We've got to believe and have faith in order for that prayer to be faith. And then we need to have the anchor of grace. We can be so thankful to God for His grace, but we can count on that. We know it's there because it's His. It comes from God. But we can depend on it. Then, the anchor of knowledge. How important knowledge is. Knowledge can help us avoid a lot of problems in our lives. If we know better, we can do better. When we know better, we can avoid problems. I heard on the radio last night, yesterday sometime, a fellow was talking about alcoholism. And he says, alcoholism is a disease that doesn't discriminate against anybody. It'll everybody, anybody. And I thought, you know what, that's not true. Alcoholism can only get somebody that drinks. It's true that anyone, any race, male or female, any age, who drinks can become an alcoholic. There's no doubt about that. But you can't become an alcoholic if you don't have a drink. Knowledge will save us from a lot of troubles. If we know better, we can do better, and we can avoid a lot of problems by that. And then finally, the fourth anchor that we use to hold our soul in place is the anchor of hope. Sometimes people might say, faith and hope are the same thing. No, faith and hope aren't the same thing. They're kind of similar, but they're different as well. Faith is believing in what we cannot see. Evidence of things that we haven't seen. But hope is that even at the worst of times, even in the darkest of days, in the darkest of nights, we can hope for better times. We can hope for brighter days. We can hope for the more to come. There are a lot of things probably facing you today that you need to pray about. There are a lot of things every day that face us. We can worry about those things all day. We can dwell on those things. We can go talk to psychiatrists and psychologists. talk to other people about it is those other people can't really help the situation many times any more than we can help the situation. If I've lost a loved one, nobody can bring that back to me any more than I could. God won't bring that back in this life. He did sometimes in the Bible in those times, but He doesn't do that anymore. But God can be of true comfort to us. Because man has nothing to offer us after this life is over. Man has nothing to give to us. I've heard Alex say a number of times, man doesn't have a heaven or a hell to put anybody in. God can be a comfort to us because we can trust in Him. We can know that we're right with Him and that we'll be with Him. Sometimes our comfort under difficult situations is limited, though, because of the fact that we ourselves are human. God has said oftentimes that He will forget a certain thing. You just remember it no more. Unfortunately, as human beings, we can't do that. It's not even always good to want to do that. But when we have difficult times, when we've had something bad to happen to us, we can't just forget about it. You can't just say, oh, I'm never going to remember that ever again. Because as human beings, there are other events that will occur in our lives that will trigger those memories. But with the help of God, we can get through. We need to pray during the dark times. But unlike these sinful men that were on the ship with Paul, we need to be sure that when God answers that prayer, when God brings the day, when He brightens our way, we need to be sure that we don't stop praying. There is just as much to pray for in the blessings as there is in the troubles. More so than I want you to show. How many of you may know Dave Barry, the humorous writer, right, columns in the newspaper. And he was having a situation where there was a hurricane where he lived in Florida, and he was made it humorous because that's his job, I guess, and it is what he does. But at the end of, after the hurricane had come through and the limb fell on their house and all their windows were busted, and they all come out, and the morning comes and the storm has passed through, and they all look at each other and say, boy, aren't we lucky. And he made a comment that was really quite profound. He said, you know, isn't it the days when nothing bad happens that we ought to be saying, aren't we fortunate? Instead of the days when all sorts of bad things happen and we barely survived it, that we say, aren't we fortunate? And I got to thinking about that. And that's the way it is many times with us. When bad things happen, we pray, oh God, help us through these bad, help me. But then when those bad times are over, we forget all about it. We don't even say thank you sometimes. And yet each and every day He gives us so many blessings. So many blessings. We need to be mindful of each and every blessing He gives us each and every day. If you're here this evening, you have a need not to respond to the invitation. Perhaps you have not leaned on God as you should, or perhaps you leaned on Him only when you